Hey guys, welcome to episode 132 of the JV Club with my marvelous guest, Shadi Petoskey. I am so glad that she was able to do the podcast. It's something we've talked about forever. I feel like I could probably just record myself saying it's something we've talked about forever and just insert that in with every episode. I just want you to know I recognize this, I acknowledge it, and you know what? I embrace it. I'm a little behind on shout outs. I need to do some catching up, but I did want to thank Leslie for your email, Emily for your wonderful Facebook note, Caro and Tiana for your emails. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, ladies, for getting in touch. I will catch up on more podcast shout outs in the near future. I think I'm going to keep it real short and sweet because it's a long episode. An episode I could not have enjoyed more. And I'm really excited for you guys to check out. So I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And I will talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
So this is we had a false start. I needed to get you taken care of, which possibly I still have not done.
Because oh no, I have water. Yeah, I'm good.
I mean, at least you have some water.
For are crying out loud. Are we podcasting right now?
We we are.
Okay.
Podcasting right now.
Great.
It's going out live to millions of people. That's not how this works. I should clarify. Apologize. You've done a podcast appearance or two.
I have. I just, no one knows who I am yet. So I'm just wondering, how long are we going to keep up this mystery?
I would say for the first 2 hours,
okay.
We'll keep up a mystery. And then in hour four, I'll start giving hints. Now, hour three, I'm not going to have you speak at all.
Okay.
Hour three, I'm just going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about. It's going to be whatever's on my mind.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. This is good. This is going to be good.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know I have a 6-hour podcast. Maybe yeah. I wasn't clear about that.
No, okay. It's great. People are going to be so surprised.
I think so, too.
Who is it?
But also, for sure, it says who you are in the description. It's like impossible for... I challenge anyone to listen to this episode without already knowing who my guest is. I challenge anyone.
Oh, spoiled.
How would you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't, because it's right there in the title. Like, you're the title of this podcast episode.
Yeah.
This could be the first one where I go, you know what? It could be the first one where I go, mystery guest.
Mystery guest. Please do.
I mean, I could.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, it's Diane Keaton. Like, somebody who's just the
okay,
most
well, now you said
woman.
It. Here I am, Diane
thank
Keaton.
You so much for joining me.
You're,
this is
you're
a
welcome.
Real pleasure.
Yeah, I was walking around the neighborhood and.
Yeah.
Thinking about Keaton, being
uh-huh.
a Keaton.
Being a Keaton.
What that meant.
Yeah.
And saw you and came in.
It really worked out. People do call that serendipity, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. I don't.
What do you call it? Being a Keaton?
I call it being a Keaton. Keaton-dippity. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know what? I just realized that I would be talking about for an hour if I weren't letting you speak for an hour. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
Uh-oh.
The Serial podcast.
Wait, I don't know.
Oh, God. Shadi, it's for the best that you don't know, because I would be like, I don't care about you or your youth.
Oh, yeah.
I need to talk about Serial.
Serial was a big part of me in my youth. That's how I got
cereal.
This body. That was one thing that, like, we had this massive cabinet in our kitchen, and we would fill up a cart with cereal.
It's so good, though.
It is good. It's sugar.
And it's sugar, and it is, like, I my understanding is that now, unfortunately, like, it's been spoiled for everyone. Like,
yeah,
now parents know cereal is not the right way to start the morning.
Yeah.
But back then, it felt like we were really getting away with something because people were, like, our parents thought that their nutritious breakfast was cereal.
Yeah. It was like, we feel now how people felt when they found out heroin is in concert.
That's right.
It was just like, it's like, well, it was so fun.
It was so fun while it lasted.
So fun for a while.
Oh, God.
Cereal was so fun. We were on it. We were like a test family for cereal. So they would send us like white boxes.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm.
They would send us white boxes. Like, it would look like a, you know, like the old generic box, but it'd be a white box, super scientific-y, and it would just say like ice cream scoops. And then we would eat that new cereal, that new formula, and then have to fill out like a little questionnaire after about how much we like
this lottery.
I don't know. My mom signed up for a lot of things.
Where was this?
And we never actually won the lottery.
The important thing to remember is none of this was as valuable as winning the lottery.
Gambler, and that didn't happen. But she did gamble on cereal, and we tried a lot of different things. I think the only one that actually made it that we saw on the market, because that was a big thing. Like, if we had it, it was like, oh, I knew that cereal before it was cool, right? Like, we had something to do with it. We discovered it. And I think the only one was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like scoops or something. It was like a little balls and then little ice cream cones.
Gosh, I don't even remember that. It feels like that's something I would have chased after, because I did love Cookie Crisp.
Yeah,
Cookie Crisp. By the way, was neither really cookie-ish, even though it looked like it.
I like how we give our parents the benefit of the doubt. It's like, they thought they were serving us a nutritious breakfast with ice cream cereal and Cookie Crisp.
I know.
They just didn't want to know.
They knew.
It was.
And to be fair, that was a special, like, my dad would get me Cookie Crisp, but I think I was allowed to have Cookie Crisp once to twice a week.
Oh, okay.
Which is not, and then the rest of the time I would just be like regular Cheerios, but also probably Honey Nut Cheerios, which I think is also just probably
sugary. I have to be careful. I do a lot of work for General Mills.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Honey
amazing.
Nut Cheerios is a
delicious, nutritious breakfast.
Yeah. Well, you've got it unlocked.
Everybody knows that the bees make the best cereal.
They do. We were allowed to eat any breakfast cereal and all of it.
And who's
like,
we?
As much as we want. I had, look at this, life.
Mm-hmm.
I had three cereal. I had three younger brothers, and so there were, you know, four boys. I'm going to put that in quotes because I'm a transsexual. But
hold on, what?
Yeah, that's why you're letting me. That's why you told me not to come in during Boys of Summer.
That's why you're letting me. Anything that starts out, that's why you're letting me. Yeah. Sounds like, wait a minute, what? I didn't.
No, it's true. You're letting me in. Because we were going to do this, and you're like, just so you know, Boys of Summer is coming up, and I don't want this ambiguity.
I did.
I don't
think
want
it would
to do it
fun
right
to
before,
have you kind
right
of be the
after,
first one back, and then it just didn't work out because I still had
to transition back
during the podcast episode. Yeah. Amazing.
We can't just go right from Boys of Summer back
God.
To girls.
We got to give people a soft landing.
Intermediate. Yeah. So there were four boys in the family, and just all the cereal, just 20, 30 boxes of cereal. And we ate like a box of cereal.
And where was
every
this?
Day. Super rural. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I lived in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in Gwinn, Michigan, because, we'll get to that later. But then I also lived in the upper northwest corner of Montana by Glacier National Park.
Okay.
So I grew up in two incredibly remote places.
No kidding.
Both beautiful, but incredibly remote places.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But luckily, the cereal still made it there.
So
the cereal came to Michigan.
It did. Yeah. We got it at the Air Force. My mom was a single mom, and she joined the Air Force and then met my stepfather, who was a military guy. Yeah. So we got it at the BX, and that was part of why we had so much, I think, is because it was so deeply discounted. Like, at the BX, everything was so cheap, and cereal packaged goods, especially for military families, was like $1 a box of cereal.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
What a score.
Yeah.
Well, not actually being a lottery, but unless you've previously
And now I'm susceptible to type 2 diabetes big time.
Wonderful. I feel the same way. I don't know how. I mean, I really lived on it. Not just cereal, but sugar. Like, you know. And I guess that's what a lot of kids do. I mean, you know, even in high school, like, if you have your own money, I don't know that I knew anyone who was making nutritious choices.
No.
I feel like it was like a bag of chips and a Coke or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, kind of miss those days.
It is. But you can't eat like that anymore.
I know.
I eat a little bit of sugar and I'm sweating and
sick.
Cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Disoriented.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Lost. Become a child again. I start searching for youth.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I know that there's a big age difference between you and all of your brothers, or
yeah,
just you
so
two?
my next youngest brother was a couple years younger. We okay. have the same father, and okay. then my mom joined the Air Force.
And so your stepfather is the father.
Yeah, so
of
my
your
other two little brothers are half brothers, right?
Okay.
And they yeah, big age difference. When I was in high school, I took care of them during the summer. I was like full time babysitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, that big age difference, and that was the group, that was the unit.
Did you feel surprised when you found out that your mom was going to have an additional child? And then of course it evolved into two, but, or did you, were you like, okay, I kind of saw this coming?
No, I, yeah, it was fine. Yeah. I was way into it. Like I was really excited about having these little brothers.
That's cool. That's
really
cool.
We had a lot of fun. Like I said, I took care of them. So like we'd go to the park and we'd go swimming and, you know, catch frogs and like just do whatever, you know, summertime in northern Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, we did like that kind of stuff. It was like really fun.
Did that inform your desire to have or not have kids of your own? Like, was that something you thought about back then too?
Yeah, I think I always liked kids. So that's like a part of me is wanting kids and liking kids and that whole thing. I mean, being trans, it complicates kids a lot.
Yeah.
So thanks for triggering me right away.
You're welcome. That's what I do. Yeah,
so, you know, but yeah, I love kids and I work in children's entertainment, you know, and like I'm mostly known for working on Yo Gabba Gabba, and that's what we did for 65 episodes and did the live show. And like, I just went to Minneapolis a few weeks ago and did the live show, and then surrounded by all these kids dancing, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really great.
No, but to your point, of course it is complicated, and that's something that my cousin and his wife went through, is sort of trying to figure out who and how and where and why and, you know, what that would look like. And
your trans man cousin?
My trans cousin who is female to male. And I think in the end they just decided that they couldn't, you know, that they didn't, they just decided not to, but they do love kids, but they talked about it. But there's so many, I mean, I don't know, of course it's complicated, but I feel like at this point there's so much happening.
Yeah.
That there's just so much happening that there are like, I mean, at least there are different options above and beyond, you know, physiological ones.
Right, right. For sure, sure. And then, and you know, and a lot of trans women, like before starting, because estrogen, if you start taking estrogen, if you're that kind of trans person, you know, people will get their sperm frozen so they can have kids later and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or people have kids, you know, before they transition, like as a last ditch, like I got to do it now. Like,
yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's kind of the same. It's like the clock is running out, you know?
Yeah.
So that happens a lot too.
But let's just quickly acknowledge that it is wonderful to even be in a place in our culture where those kinds of decisions are being made in any way out in the open, at least for some people. And
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure. Like, I mean, there's still tragic stuff around it too, where trans women and trans men are losing their kids all the time because, like, you know, in court, because they're seen as unfit parents for transitioning and stuff. So, like, we're not totally there yet.
Absolutely not. I'm the first person to agree
Let's not rest on our laurels.
No, not at all.
We've got a lot of work to do, society.
Forward. No, I completely agree.
Is society listening
agree.
To this? Is society listening
I
to this?
I would say that 99% of my listeners are society.
Okay, so just, you know,
the people who are off the grid, you guys can ignore this.
Yeah, we're kind of a
nothing.
Little bit out there.
You owe society. Us. Well, that's pretty pushy.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
These are people who don't have electricity. Shaddy. They don't have electricity. They don't have boxes of cereal being delivered to them. Okay. They are spending 100% of their time surviving.
Okay.
I don't know if they can be that active.
Yeah. So they're not going to get me civil liberties.
I mean, probably not.
All right.
I know.
Can you recommend any other podcasts that are more connected to powerful society? Is there a power?
What powerful people listen to?
What podcast are they into?
I don't know. The powerful people, maybe something that like CNBC puts
Todd Glass.
Out. Yeah, Todd maybe. Glass. Yes.
Yeah.
Some of the most powerful people in the world listen to Todd Glass.
He's a powerful person.
Yeah. Man, if Todd Glass, I've said this on the podcast before, but if Todd Glass could elicit some of the small changes, even just in businesses and restaurants around the United States that he visits, it'd be a better place.
That would be great.
You know?
I wish he had some Start kind of politic you know. Or issue that he could.
I would vote for Todd Glass if he ran for
anything.
Office,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really into this now.
Seeps power, I think.
Yeah. Now I really hope he listens to this.
Yeah.
I got to get him on board, onto and into of a JV club. Yeah. Listen, I know that you try to distract me, but I do want to tell you what the Serial podcast is really quickly.
Oh, right.
Because it is all I think about, except for right now. But now, right now, I'm also thinking about it.
Okay, yeah, let's get into it.
For those of you who are fans of This American Life, you know that they have created a side podcast, Serial, S-E-R-I-A-L.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the next season will be about breakfast cereal, just to throw everyone a little bit. But this one is about...
I just have to say, I was not doing a bit. I had no
idea. Oh,
I didn't. I had no idea.
I enjoyed it, and it gave us a wonderful window in immediately. So I'm overjoyed by it. But I do feel like now I owe the people who listen to the Serial podcast a quick explanation, or just at least a quick like touch base about it, because most people who listen to it are feeling fairly obsessed over it. And there's a reason for me bringing this up, because I think it's kind of pigeon tails. That's not right. Dovetails into something that I do want to ask you about, because of the sort of like community that you're a part of in the animation world and in the kind of Comic-Con world. But real quick, Sarah Koenig is a producer, rim reporter on This American Life. Someone approached her about a young guy, you know, he's in his 30s now, who's been serving a prison sentence for a crime that she believed he did not commit. And Sarah had written a story about the lawyer who tried this case, and because she was disbarred for like mishandling client funds or whatever. So this woman said, you know, we just lost our appeal. I have nothing to lose. Are you interested in this story at all? And she started reading through the case files and all this. And she was like, wow, this looks like it's a huge miscarriage of justice potentially, but also just got really intrigued because there's so many layers of like lies and mystery surrounding this 18-year-old girl's murder that, she started pursuing it, and basically it consumed her for this last year. And she started So she's been releasing pieces about the case every week. And it's so compelling and fascinating.
Wow,
and always feel like, a lot of people that are talking about it, and I agree with this, is like you always kind of feel like you're just within reach of the truth. And of course it's entertainment, quote unquote, because sure, it's not happening to me personally. But at the same time, the fact that it is real, and that some of her evidence and people coming forward are coming forward in response to the podcast, it all feels very fluid and real time.
Yeah, that's unreal.
And it's just fascinating, and it's a little unhealthy. Like, because it becomes this sort of like, I think if I listen to this episode one more time, maybe I'll hear something that no one else heard in the evidence, and I'll be able to decide whether or not I think this person is guilty. And what I want to say about it is, I have, you know, when you go to Comic-Cons, mm-hmm, and you meet and see people who are so devoted to and obsessed with something like a series or a series of comic books or whatever, that they want to talk about it with other people. They want to go to a place where all they are required to talk about is that. And they want spoilers. You know what I mean? Like when people on the cartoon that I'm on, people always ask me like, is there anything you can tell me about, yeah, you know, season four or da da da. And I'm always like, but guys, come on. Like, you don't need to know. I mean, you know, you're going to find out, and that'll be more fun that you've not known anything. There'll be fun, a surprise. The entertainment will be there. It'll be more, it will just be more fulfilling if you don't know anything. And they disagree. They're like, that's no. I really would rather know more now. And I never really understood that until this. Like this, in my entire life, this is kind of the first thing. Maybe Twin Peaks when I was in high school, maybe, because I kind of was consuming everything I could about Twin Peaks.
Right.
But
I do that. I do that now too with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I get on the wiki and I look.
You do.
And then what was it? There was some show I was watching the other day, and I was like, I just need to know. Like, I just need to know this thing.
Talking about. Yeah. And I wish, I'm so glad that I understand that now, because
I actually think it was Nashville. I think I had to.
I just need to know this.
I just
right now
needed to know what was going on with Deacon. Yeah, it was something not serious.
Nothing. But like, yeah, so this is this thing that I now feel like I have a window into in a very real way, because, you know, I was talking to somebody else about it who also likes the podcast, but they're not as obsessed with it. And I was like, I think I'm going to go online. And he was like, don't, why would you do that? You're going to ruin all the upcoming episodes for yourself. And I was like, no, you don't understand. It's past that point. I will enjoy the episodes no matter what, but I need as much information right now as possible. And I don't care if it's something about the case that she hasn't revealed yet. I don't care. And so like, I've gone down these like Reddit rabbit holes where I realize like, I don't have this kind of time. I had to like stay up late after I finished working on Sketchfest so I could allow myself this heroin dose of like 45 minutes of just reading what other people are thinking and like, well, my dad's a lawyer and he says that da 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 da. And yeah, like someone else is like, did anyone hear the pause in blah blah blah's voice when they were, it is crazels. And someone teasing me was like, if there was like a convention, like a con, like a serial con, right, would you go? And I was like, I think I would.
You would.
I think I would want to go to all the panels. I would want to talk to all the people.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I have that brain too. And I definitely do that. I'm tired today because I was up until 4 a.m. doing genealogy.
You were?
Yeah. And it's the same thing where it's just like, okay, like there's a little bit of mystery around where my great grandfather, who my great grandfather's mother was or father was. And a lot of rumors floating around. And so I'm putting all these dates together. I'm printing out all these records. I'm seeing, you know, on census records, sometimes he put that his parents are from Germany, but sometimes he put that his parents are from Denmark.
Ooh.
But then I started building up this intrigue, like they were homesteaders in Montana. So did he lie about his parentage so that he, because they ended up getting land too. So if he said that they were, you know, these living relatives' son, then they could get land as well. And so like there was like all this stuff, and I'm not gonna know this, but right, thinking you're gonna figure out, and maybe with the serial podcast it's real, like,
yeah,
if you figure this out, someone's exonerated it or something.
And she even frames it as, you know, I clearly someone, at least one person is lying. And it just becomes the sticking point where you're like, yeah, she's like, I just really want to figure out who. I'm not even sure this guy's innocent, but, you know, I just want to know what the fuck happened.
I'm definitely a geek and did that in high school and was obsessed with certain things. And then as a professional, I just don't think you're allowed to do that.
Mm.
But I guess we do it still. But it feels okay because you're getting paid to do it.
Right.
Like if you focus on something for a long time or you show up for work. But then I'm always shocked when my brain does that, where it's just like, you know, this one little computer problem, and then I'm 5 hours into finding out what that was. And I'm like, why didn't I, this didn't matter. I could have asked anybody else to help me with that.
Do you like puzzles in general? I don't mean like jigsaw puzzles, but do you like the sort of like, you know,
yeah, I think
the,
so,
the sort of resolution of like, I want to understand why I don't know the answer to this.
I was Encyclopedia Brown.
Oh, me too.
So, me too. I think so. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. What about choose your own adventure books?
Oh my God. So into them.
I was too, but I think I definitely kind of had an impatience about those because I wanted to simultaneously make both choices every time.
And I did.
Right?
I always went back and followed the path and was kind of obsessed with how that worked. And I thought those were so brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, well, you know, Neil Patrick Harris's autobiography is like that.
Oh, no,
like his autobiography has a... is like choose your own adventure. Like, just, you know, if you want Neil to da da da, turn to page blah blah blah. It's brilliant. It's so brilliant.
And I have to admit, there were I don't know what the name of this series were, but I got a hold of 4 of them, and they were choose your own adventure books, but written from a perspective of a girl. So it was like she, her pronouns and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was living to me. Like when I read those, it was like, I'm truly living for the first time.
Yeah.
Like those were, I was way into those.
Well, I can't not ask this, obviously, because we're going to talk about your teenage years. But, you know, I think that the common question, but the relevant question is, did you identify as female? Did you have an understanding of what was happening to your body and in your brain as a young person, or was that something that came to fruition.
Or it's not later. That way with everyone necessarily, but I'm pretty typical trans narrative. I was, you know, earliest memory, just like, what? You know, it's going. And I think when you say body, like, you know, we all experience gender. We always experience, like, sex and the differences between boys and girls and in different ways. So, like, early in life, it's more about gender, right? It's more about, like, what girls do and what boys do and what girls
wear.
Activities
and, yeah.
Yeah, it's more about, it's not so much about bodies. Our bodies aren't that different then, right? But then when puberty hits, then it becomes much more, for everyone, their experience of gender and being your femaleness or your maleness becomes more about the body, and then at some point it becomes a little bit more about sex and sexuality, mm-hmm. you know, and those kind of define that stuff for you. So, like, you know, it's not necessarily, like, it wasn't always about the body, but it grew to be about the body as our bodies change.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is what your podcast is about. Yeah, but always knew and always thought that way and can't shake it.
Yeah. This is a podcast. I'm actually here to try to get you to shake it. That's what
I'm trying
to do.
Yeah, can you help me with this? Because I think I would probably do a little better in life.
Number one, I got to lay hands on you. So I hope you're comfortable with that.
I'm sure. Yeah, that probably would. we do. So I think so many trans people, like, try to figure out how to not be trans for so long. And I think queer people, like gays and lesbians, do that too. It's just like, why do I have to live a hard life, you know?
Sure.
But then you stop shaking it and then you live.
And what was your transition like, and when did you start?
I'm a baby one.
That's so great.
Well, I actually kind of had two. So when I was 20, I moved to North Carolina to transition, which was crazy.
Where were you before that? Were you up in
Montana?
You were in Montana. Yeah. So your dad was in Montana and your mom was in Michigan, or you moved with your mom and your...
I moved with my mom when we moved to Michigan, but I went back and forth to Montana all the time because my grandfather was there and family, and that's where my family was. And since my mom was... We were in the Air Force. We were really isolated. There was no family around. Mm. Michigan wasn't a place that anybody wanted to go. It was a military thing. So when you're in the military, you become isolated very quickly. So family was in Montana. All my cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents are there. We're old school Montanans, homesteaders. So we would go back for summers. And then I went to ninth grade there. And
you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I started high school there and lived with my grandfather. And then as soon as I graduated from high school, I moved back there and then lived there when I graduated at 17, so 17, 18, 19, 20. So I feel like if you look at the actual years, it's like a 50-50 split of childhood in each place.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you have friends in one or the other places that you felt closer to? And did you...
Yeah, I think I never had big friends, like those kind of like childhood friends that other people have, you know. I mean, I had this big secret, right? So I would try to get close to girls and be but it was weird. And then but I actually, one of my best friends came out as trans, like was
really?
Yeah, male assigned to birth, and like we hung out all the time and neither one of us ever told each other. And then we found each other and we had a really great friendship. Now, I mean, transition, I still use male pronouns, but sometimes don't. Hasn't transitioned yet, just kind of came out.
Oh, and, okay, gotcha.
And is just lives in, like, near LA.
Well, that's what, I mean, again, not to make this about me, I just have, because I have a very close relationship to someone who transitioned, and
right.
I grew up with, you know, him. That's something that I'm actually really proud of my family, because they're really good at, like, when we refer to him at the time that he was female, we say she, because that's sort of like, that's, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I just did. Yeah. I understand that.
And
for
I talked
sure.
to him about it, because I was just with him a couple weeks ago, and I think he brought it up. He was like, oh, it's funny, because when, you know, my dad is like a dad to him, you know, it's not like
right.
an uncle, and because he didn't have a dad. And he was like, oh yeah, it was funny, because, you know, your dad was talking about me to someone else and I was there, and, you know, he said like da da da, and then, you know, I did take her to Disneyland with Janet or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's so weird to hear. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because I feel like I do that too. And I'm not doing it. It feels weird to, like, revisionist history
who you presented yourself as then. But yeah. And I was like, but does that feel weird to you? And he was like, well, I think it is funny to hear because I still felt male then.
Right.
So it's weird to hear the she, even though of course you would do that because I was Julie then. And it's yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting. It's kind of like, it's an oppressive thing though, because it's kind of like you're forced into it. It's a little bit like, and gender is so important. Like we, you know, when we walk into a store, it's like, hey, you know, sir or ma'am. And it's like totally. More important than anything else in our society. So it'd be a little, you know, if we referred to people by their like weight instead,
yeah,
and you were
totally.
Like a, and you were like a fat kid who then lost weight, or you were, or like, and then you were just like, oh, you know, fatty.
I completely, that makes perfect sense to me.
You know, so like,
it's so unintentional sometimes, you know, and it's.
And then with, I mean, just the idea of pronouns for, just, you know, that people didn't choose, it's kind of strange to me. Like, it's maybe not strange to anybody else, but it's like we're labeling people based on a sex assignment at birth, based on one thing, on genitals and the appearance of genitals. And, you know, it's important to remember when thinking about trans stuff and thinking about humans that some people have genitals and people don't know, and they just pick, and they're just like, that leans this way. Or, you know, for a long time, people would surgically alter genitals. It's like, that's not really a penis. Let's go the other way.
Totally. And it was just like, what's easier? Like, medically, what's easier? Like, with this situation, it's just easier if it's a girl.
And a lot of people, like, there's a famous case of somebody who committed suicide because they were being forced to be raised as a girl, but they were really identified as a boy. And, like, and so I think that, like, I and articles do it too, because I'll talk about pre-transition. I understand why you do it and why I just did it, because you're thinking about that body and you're thinking about that person, like you're flashing back and you're seeing that, and there's a disconnect, like a childhood self, like the child you doesn't really feel like you if you talk about that person. That's just a really different person. So like, I understand why people do it, but it's not okay. Like we should revision it, you know, and I think that now that it's kind of okay to be out and trans, like people know, like I'm, you know, I brought some photos for you that are just like, there's a boy there. And even now, like I'm, you know, as a trans man, like trans men are usually really integrated, right? Like the way that hormones work and stuff like that, you can't really tell that trans men aren't cis men. The opposite of trans. But with trans women, like, if we have an androgen puberty, you don't get to reverse that. So right. We look different, and you can tell. People can usually tell that we're trans. Plenty of trans women, you can't. But, so, I have a continuity in my life. I didn't pull down Facebook photos. I didn't try to erase my history. I don't say when I was a little girl, you know. But it's so weird, and you feel... What that feels like is oppression. It feels like people, what that reminds you of is people just not like listening. I was just, I'm doing all this genealogy stuff now. My grandfather, who I lived with, actually passed away this week. And so I'm going back to Montana on Thursday. So I'm, you know, I'm doing the speech at the funeral, and I'm bringing photos, and I've taken kind of the best photos, and I'm kind of putting everything together, and I'm kind of the family genealogist, so I'm preparing to bring all this stuff back home. And it's the first time going home since transitioning. And like, they're, you know, when I'm talking to everybody on the phone and making arrangements, like everybody's saying Shad and he, but like, it just reminds me of how much my family didn't. And, you know, they didn't know, people didn't necessarily know what people did know what trans stuff was, but they didn't, but just how, like, they didn't save me. They didn't help me, you know? And that's, like, really painful to be. When I was doing the genealogy, I was just, like, looking at a photo album, and my mom had written, like, oh, you hated getting this haircut, and, like, all this stuff about how much I hated that haircut. And I remember, to me, that's, like, such a traumatic thing. Mm-hmm. But for her, it was just like, boys have short hair. You can't have long hair. You can't do that stuff. And like, there'd be stuff where like, I would trick girls into trading clothes with me. It'd be like, wouldn't it be funny if like, I wore your dress and you wore my clothes, and then we went home? Like, that would be so funny. Like, people would think that was so funny. And so I'd do that, and then I'd go home and address, and my mom would be like, ha ha, like, you know, put it on your brother. He's blonde, so he'll be cuter in it, you know? And it's just like, but he's not a girl. Like, he doesn't want this. Like, so, like, all that stuff is so traumatic, and our parents didn't fucking pay attention, you know? And so, like, you know, there's trauma around pronouns, and it's really triggering, so...
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And that's some, that's why I had that conversation with him. Yeah. It's sort of like, I just said, like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Because I can go whatever direction. He was like, he sort of arrived at the place of like, I don't really care. Uh-huh. But like having had this conversation with you, I feel like, oh, it's very easy for me to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly easy for me to make that adjustment. I don't ever have to refer to him as what, you know, as the person that he presented as then, because he had no choice, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes we have to say we don't care because it's too hard, you know, it's painful to care, right? Like, it's, you have to kind of go like, well, they're going to do that. Like when I'm on the phone, it's like, ah, they're going to do that. But it's just like, it just shakes me so much where it's just like, oh, they're going to see me. And then I have to worry about the relatives that are going to be disgusted by me and all that stuff. And it just like, it just brings up a lot. Like, it's pretty intense to be trans.
Sure.
I wish it didn't matter. Like, I'd love to just be like, none of that matters. And
no, I'm, of course it matters. Of course it matters. And in no, and yeah, I'd like the thing is that I think for, I don't mean to defend myself, but I think even for people who, it's total ignorance. It's for me, it's total ignorance because I was like very gay positive my entire life. It's just like,
so you caught it somewhere?
I caught it somewhere.
You were
oh yeah, I got the disease. No, but I mean, like, even as a child,
I've never been tested. I don't know.
Well, you should get tested. Okay. You really should get tested because you don't want to be spreading that around.
Yeah.
No, but like even as a little kid, before I identified as straight, gay, bi, whatever, I remember when, you know, someone in my family like married someone of a different race or something, and part of my family was like weirded out about it because they were, you know, because of their religion or whatever, you know, who knows.
Right, right.
And my mom had been married to a Hispanic man before she married my dad. And I remember she like, I was still so young, but like it was so important to her to say like, I just want you to know that I will love you and respect any man that you marry. And I remember saying, I mean, I was like five. I was like, what if it's a girl?
Wow.
And my mom was like, okay. You know what I mean? And at that time, I didn't even know that my cousin, I didn't know he was gay, which was how he identified, he identified as a lesbian.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. I just, in my mind was, I just had that thing of like, when you're a kid, before all that stuff gets drilled into you, you sort of have the open-mindedness that gets broken down and broken down and broken down more and more, you know, as you go. But
yeah, we have to otherize other people. But even that, like identifying as gay, like I guess I identified as gay, right? But I never did, you know, it's just like, it's, I think that with trans, you have to, and I think with LGBT people in general, you have to really consider like situational sexuality. Like when women go to prison together, straight women, they might, and they're in they have a life sentence. They might have a wife in a couple years,
sure,
for romantic companionship and whatever. And that's, you know, and that's like a well documented phenomenon called situational sexuality. And I think that like for us, there's so much situational sexuality going on, like identifying as gay. It's like, well, that's one culture where I'm not going to get like destroyed.
Totally.
Or like, especially for trans men with butch lesbian culture, is because they can really fit in and they can kind of play around with transitioning and stuff. And I think it exists in gay male culture too, around like drag, and you can kind of do some gender play, but it's still pretty frowned upon even in the gay community, and it's not like it's communal.
Yeah.
And there's no politic around it, like with lesbians there's so much like really good politic and feminism and stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to ask too, and I really don't need, this does not need to be a podcast only about, you know, transitioning or being part of a trans community or anything, but I do have a curiosity about the, and you can totally like scream at me if I'm now.
I'm gonna scream at you.
Scream at me
because why have
your voice to get hurt?
Why have a conversation with a person?
How dare we? No. How dare we? Well, no, I was just interested because...
I don't scream like a lady, so I can't scream at you.
We can work on that, too. We can get vocal coach right in here.
Right.
I'm just interested in, again, because Makuz is very active.
Yeah, no. Go ahead and ask me anything.
Well, I've had conversations with him or you know, heard him having conversations about the sort of like, and I think Dave Holmes was talking about this just as sort of a gay man as well, feeling like, because of what you just said about this idea that like, it's not really better if you're a woman and you're basically trapped essentially in a man's body or, you know, societally seen as a man, is it better to be, how much better really is it? Is it 2% better to identify as a gay man rather than a straight man, but you know that you're a woman? And it feels like that's so, like someone from the outside might say, well, that's got to be better though, right? And it's like, what, 0.5% better?
Right.
Like slightly culturally better, but it's still so wrong. It's like, I don't even know what it is like. It's like being, knowing in your heart that, you know, you 100% know God exists, but that's not okay where you live. So it's okay if you think that the president is cool, like the president's God. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like so far away.
Yeah, no,
from
you're,
reality. That's like, totally right. Oh, that's great.
I see this really interesting thing happening with conservatives around trans issues, because now that trans issues are kind of coming to the forefront, they'll be like, well, you're just like an eccentric gay man. You know, or you're just like an extra femme gay man. And that's like how they see it. And it's like, you hate gay men. Like, don't like, you know, you can't just be like, oh, you're like really bad. You should just be this other thing I hate. It's so funny. It happens all the time. And that's exactly right. And also, I just want to correct or talk about something. I don't think that the concept, it's cis people created the concept of being trapped in the wrong body. That's like a narrative that like came from like Geraldo and news outlets. I don't think any trans person thinks about being like trapped in the wrong body. I think we think about reclaiming our body and just like, and especially, you know, and it's actually scientifically fairly simple to like, you know, with hormones or some people never use hormones. I think that a lot of it is social and just like having peace in our identity. And if we are, I'll talk about me. It's really important that people know that like my perspective is like a straight, white, you know, like middle class trans woman. So like people of color have a completely different experience. Like they're getting murdered, you know, like that's a different experience than my experience. And if I was attracted to women, like that's a very different experience, like politically and social and everything. So, and before transition, that's probably a different experience too. So like, I think that, you know, it's really important that people just know that I'm just talking about me and my narrative a certain way. But some people never take hormones. Some people get no surgeries. I've never had a surgery. Like some people, you know, like, and people just think that it's all like surgery and all this stuff. Like I've had people at parties like come up and grab my breasts like tons of times and be like, what are you stuffing with? Or who did your boobs? And it's like, I have boobs like you have boobs. I just got boobs because... my body's full of estrogen and I grew boobs. Like that's my body, just like your body. I had to induce it. I have to take a pill to do it, but I only have to take a pill to do it. So stop acting so special.
But also, even cis people, if I may, we induce stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like we induce. Feel like our body's thinking we're pregnant if we're on the pill, if that's what's going on inside. We induce hair growth by taking Rogaine. We induce, you know what I mean? Right. Like there's so, at this point we are living in a world where if we're privileged enough to live in a society where we have those choices, everybody's changing everything all the time.
Yeah, your physiology
or can be,
well,
you know?
Cereal, right? Like if you're eating a lot of sugar and stuff, your body is a very different body than if you're eating organic foods and working out. And so actually at a genetic level, like they're finding out more things where it's like, not this has nothing to do with trans. I mean, I actually know what my genes are, but like you know, like genes change, like there are switches, there are levers, there are sliding scales, like things happen. And then you've got, all of a sudden you've got this disease or you've got this thing, condition that's like, you can't ever change back. But it's really important to know that we're like, we're all just like, I think the biggest conceptual problem in our culture, and it's puritanical, it's created, as a feminist, I think it's created by men to control other people, like cis white straight men got power, and so they introduced a lot of these concepts. But this idea of like oppositional sexism is really bizarre. Like this idea that men and women are two distinct classes with nothing in between. There's no intersexuality. There's nothing. No one's born. There are many, many people that are born. You can't. No scientist can tell. Like the Olympic Committee, when doing, used to do genetic tests in the 70s, and they're like, we can't tell who a man and a woman is. It's going to take us 10 weeks to decide if this runner can compete as a woman, because this is a body that's different, atypical, right? So like this idea of like men and women being so different is about like some idealized version of what a woman is or what a man is. But like anytime we say like, oh, women are like this, and it's like, well, is your like butch dyke friend like that? You know, men are like this. Oh, guys do this. And it's like, did your flamboyant gay friend who's a guy do that? Like, we have to like really start breaking down those ideas. And they're kind of these magazine ideas. And maybe it's like the Brad and Angelina idea of like the oppositional, you know, gender and stuff. Those things were so strongly enforced throughout history. You could not... Cross-dressing laws were in effect everywhere. If you were a woman and you wore men's garments by wearing jeans, you could go to jail. You know, women who wanted to vote got punched on the streets for acting like men when they wanted to vote or drinking or something. Like those things were so strictly and institutionally enforced that now we think that it's kind of normal. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, but when you start thinking about the differences, they really break down when you start looking at, like, the swath of people. Like, there's so many. We're all mutations. We're all different. And maybe, like, you're more typical and there's a bigger group of the thing that's kind of like you. But, like, as humans, we're just... There's so much spectrum out there.
And also, like, who knows? We still live in a society where who knows why I'm more typical. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea what I would have evolved into if I weren't treated this way for my whole life as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl. Uh-huh. I mean, I feel like I fly in the face of some of that stuff in spite of it. Do you
Good
know
job.
What I mean?
Good job.
Well, but yeah. Like, no. And like, please, yeah. You've already like called me out on like six different things that I've ignorantly said that you know, but I mean, like, I want that. I'm not like this person that's like, no one can make me a better advocate than I already am. That is not how I feel at right. all.
Well, and just to be clear on that, like, trans culture, we are just now organizing for the first time. So like, we're changing the definitions. So if you're like, you can be like ally number one, even as a trans person, trans people get mad at me, you know what I mean? So it's not about like, are you in or are you out? It's like, there are fluid changing, you know, like everything, the ideas and the concepts around like what it is. And, you know, right now we're calling it subconscious sex. And then like tomorrow we'll be calling it something else, or somebody else will come out with a new book that like kind of like makes us kind of, you know, that where we really identify with something else. So words are changing. I mean, you know, the tranny thing is interesting. Like, you know, people now that's like being seen as a slur. Sure. But 10 years ago, like, that was being said everywhere.
Oh my God. I so affectionately used that term when I lived in San Francisco. Sure. And my girls were down hooking, to be honest. I mean, that was and for many people, especially in urban communities where you are lucky enough to be exposed to cross sections of people that you don't see. I don't see in suburban Los Angeles the way I think of it as suburban, even though it's like still, you know what I mean? Like, I'm right. not, I don't
have, no, you have
I don't
a yard
walk down,
and
I don't walk through
anybody.
The Tenderloin to get to work anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But that was something that like I had pride about. I was being yeah. bigoted, but I had no, but at the time I didn't, you know what I mean? In my mind, I was like,
using the language that they were probably using.
Yeah. In my mind, I was like, I love my girls. Yeah. I totally get it. Like in my mind, sexually, I felt like I got it. I'm not saying that I embrace the sort of straight white male picking up a transsexual hooker who has a penis and breast implants. I'm not saying breasts. I was like, so, oh, breasts, not necessarily, or breasts. Yeah, yeah. These particular five women I'm thinking of absolutely had implants, but right. I wasn't like, oh, that's what I identify with, or I understand, and way to live in like a cloak of secrecy from your family guy. You know, there's this sort of like culture of that happening a lot.
Oh, it's
but from
so...
from a sort of like me being open to whatever, I was like, If people can be in a healthy place where they, just speaking in terms of sexual pleasure, can be pleasured by whatever combination of what's going on down, like under your clothes, great.
Yeah.
Great. But there's still so much tied to those, like, why are you, and is there something wrong with you that you blank, and like, what happened to you that you blank?
We call them transamorous men, and the men that are interested in like tits and a dick, right? Like, so that's like are as shamed as trans people. Like, it's almost like there are people too, like, it's so shameful for them, they cannot, and that's a real problem, and that's where like a lot of trans rights stuff come. I'm fine, like the shaming of me is fine, everybody telling the jokes and the TV, like I have a thick skin, right? Like, but it's mostly nachos. But my any guy who wants to date me is put on, you know, the hot seat, and it's so like I've slept with a bunch of comics. Like, there are guys who are interested. They cannot publicly date me. It would be impossible for them to do it. I am not somebody that somebody gets to take home for Thanksgiving. It requires such a progressive, and out of men, it requires from like essentially like straight men, like such a progressive, you know, position to bring me home for Thanksgiving. And so it's like the shame that people give towards us, they're really also giving towards our boyfriends who are also living in secret. You know, it's absolutely, it's really terrible out there. And there are guys that I'm like, what about this do you like? And they're like, I don't know. I just was like, when I was 12, I just thought that seemed right. Like, that's how it is. And when you're talking about sexuality, you know, people, that's all messed up too. And Kinsey discovered, you know, kind of blew the lid off of that, but people still didn't listen. There's still like a very oppositional, like straight or gay. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a lot of different stuff out there. And then, sorry, it just hit me with how tired I am.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. And now my phone is ringing, okay. Which is like, I don't know why it's ringing.
See, that's that obsessive brain that I have, like drops of water and you think,
yeah.
It's just like, I can't concentrate. So one guy was just like, this is just what I liked. Like, this is like, I don't know what I like. Oh, and so what I was saying about sexuality, like, we talk about like genitals so often, genitals, but people are actually not attracted to genitals, right? Like, it's more about our secondary sex characteristics. Men talk about like booty and tits and eyes, you know what I mean? Like, the things that attract us to other people sexually. And that's why, like, trans men, like Ian Harvey, I don't know if you know Ian. Mm-hmm. It's hot. And like, so many girls I know who are, you know, straight cis women are like, I would get with that. And does Ian Harvey, I don't know what Ian Harvey has going on down there. Kind of doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Because Ian Harvey is sweet and hot, and agreed, we'll figure out what to do with that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how it works for us too. It's just like, if somebody thinks that I'm like attractive and fun and funny and whatever else, like, we don't have to, what is a penis mean? I'm not gonna like slap you in the face with it. Like, you'll figure it out. If you want to put your penis in something, I have places. Mm-hmm. And if you know and I'll pleasure you, you know, like, there's, it's not about that, you yeah. know. And then there are surgeries, you know, so eventually if I wanted to do that, but I'm not sure I ever would. I don't know if,
yeah, you know, well, like, scary. You said it's I think that was the question that I had, was I don't want to create a rift in something that still feels fragile because of the sort of like, how do you build a movement, or how do you, you know, as a group of people who are so disparate and varied and have different, that they, you know, that it is like trying to say like, well, everyone who's not that is the same too.
Right.
You know what I mean? But is there a sense of like, that's, you kind of addressed it, but the idea of a sense of pressure to, now that you are identified as blank, these are the rules that apply to you. You should want the surgery, or you shouldn't want the surgery, or you should want to present one way and not the other. Or yeah. is there, cause sometimes that happens with smaller groups when you feel that you must unite to combat something on the outside, but then there's inner politics that happen with an expectation of what does a gay man act like? What does a gay woman act like? What is a bisexual man look, you know what I mean? Like,
for as far as I know, being a straight white cis ally, you know your shit. Yeah, that's completely true, and that does happen. I think it happens around sexuality. I think a lot of trans women, when they start to transition, it's like if they're attracted to women, are kind of shamed over that. Like, and because trans lesbians tend to be a lot more political and sometimes like say like weird shit. Like, I think that there, I've met a lot of trans lesbians or people that consider maybe themselves bi or pansexual, be like, I don't really want to date a woman because it just puts me in this like weird category. And then we have all the pressures of gender. I mean, like, I think people think about like, okay, you were raised a boy, you were socialized as a boy, but I had all the same messages coming at me because I'm like, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. And, you know, we use the word identify with, but it's just like, can we just say I am that thing?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Like, so it was just like, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I'm just like, I am that. So when somebody said, girls are bad at math, I'm like, I'm bad at math. Girls are supposed to do this, I need to do this. I made my own makeup and like, you know, would dress up and like try to look pretty in the mirror as a, you know, sorry for getting you back on track with your podcast. But like in seventh and eighth grade, like I would just like try to look good and try and be fashion forward and like, you know, try to do all that stuff. And it was actually when I grew up, it was easier because like in seventh grade, like everybody dressed the same. It was all like upturned Coca-Cola t-shirts and Stonewatch jeans, and I'm giving away my age. But like, so that was, you know, where a lot of people like talk about how middle school was so different because of gender. Middle school was like the best time of my life because I felt more connected, and I just hung out with girls, and it was like, it wasn't super sexually like tense, that dynamic yet. But then the gender was kind of like, you know, it was like the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. And so we were able to, you know, be a little androgynous with stuff.
Yeah. But to your point, not everyone knows, like just speaking for my cousin, like he did not have that in that understanding yet. And so, you know what I mean? Like he really didn't know, according to him, I think if you listen to his podcast episode, I was like, did you know you were a boy?
Right.
And he was like, I didn't know that. Right. I mean, I somehow must have, but I didn't have that. Like he didn't have the relationship with knowing you were a girl the same way that you did.
Yeah, I don't. So and different. I know a lot of other people that are like that
too. And who knows if it's society or if it's just, you know, part
and your individual
brain, the way it kicks in
stuff.
And,
yeah. And then, like, I think I definitely understand that because that was the way with sexuality. Like, I had mad crushes on boys from fifth grade, right? And I never dated, and I was afraid of girls, but, like, I was always, like, kind of like. But I dated women, and I was always kind of like, in my 20s. We didn't get into that, but I moved to, you asked me when I transitioned, I moved to North Carolina to transition. And then I had like a really bad experience and then just really put it off. And then I've only, recently, it's been 2 years now, but in between I dated women and like, it was fine, you know? And I didn't know what was missing, like until I started dating men. And like, I didn't understand that like, especially sexually, that like my pilot light wasn't a bonfire. And it wasn't until I like kissed a guy for the first time that I was like, oh, this is what shit feels like. This is why people do crazy stuff for sex. Like, this is what I didn't know, because I was just kind of like, you know, I mean, kissing girls is nice, you know, and there was that. And I never had sex really, but I would like, we would like kind of masturbate next to each other and those sorts of things. Or I tried to have sex and it's like, well, this, I guess this feels nice, but it was never like, boom. And yeah. Now it's like, you know, like sex is awesome.
Yeah.
But it took, I didn't know that. Like, well, and I should have known that, because it's like, yeah, looking back, it's like the sixth sense where it's like, of course I liked, but I think, and a lot of gay and lesbian people I talk to, it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, I guess I was gay, but I didn't really know, because you just, we compartmentalize, mm-hmm. we do all these things in our brain to defend ourselves against the harshness.
Let me ask you this, and then I actually do want to ask you some stuff about, because I think one of the other things that I want to dispel is this idea that, like, somebody who's trans, that's all they were and thought about when they were a teenager. Right. I don't want to be like, so anyway, that's what I've turned you into, is like, we had this trans conversation. That's it. I want to know what you were into, what excited you, what you listened to, what you read, what you watched.
I'm going to sum this up for you so easily, because all my trans years, or my trans years, my teenage years were just me sitting in front of a mirror, a little vanity that I
hate you.
Putting on wigs and makeup and crying and then slowly taking them off and then wiping off the makeup. Whatever, like, trans movie, like the cis version of trans, and just walking through the world cold, touching the glass,
walking through a toy store and picking up a baby doll that, like, pees itself, and looking at it longingly, and then putting it away and picking up an army tank next to it, like, begrudgingly,
but holding the army tank, like, rocking the army tank to sleep at night. And then I'd walk by Maurice's and then the girl's side, and just put my hand up to the glass like it's the Vietnam Memorial. Yeah. No, that was it.
That's all.
Podcast is over.
That's all.
It's everything you think it is.
Thank you. I'm so reassured.
If you saw Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club,
that's all we have time for. We're better off dead. Oh, my God.
We just prayed to die. And then when we die, you know, it's a good lesson for the rest of us.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's not good trans representations in media. No. Like, nobody knows. But right, because, yeah. So there you go. Insightful. Yeah.
No, I swam. But, like, what excited you? Were you into music? Were you illustrating? Were you drawing? Were you?
For sure.
What was up?
Sure. I was really, I think before, everything really changed when I went back to Michigan in 10th grade. But before that, I was, like, just really goofy. I was in choir. I was kind of, like, as much as my... The other thing is that, like, I grew up in a really rural, homogenized place. So there wasn't, like, a lot of... I didn't really know that people played music. And we were really poor. So I couldn't afford band. But I always loved art classes. I was drawing and painting and trying to do that stuff all the time. Art classes were a fave. I actually really liked... I mean, this is... I don't want to say... I feel like I have to apologize for femininity. Because we're in society where we're taught to apologize for femininity.
Thank you. Finally, an hour in, I'm finally getting that apology from you.
Yeah. I loved Tom Mac. I loved making things. I loved sewing. Like, I liked clothes. But I also, like, just really loved the woods. And I would... I was, like, this really ambitious kid. I opened a bank. I remember going into the bank when I was 11 and trying to open a checking account. I always had jobs.
Lie.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
I did the Sunshine Sales Club, which is, like, where you went door to door and you sold cards, and then you either got $1 or you could, you know, turn it in for... It was, like, the back of the comic book kind of thing.
Sure,
turn
sure.
it in for prizes.
Sure.
So I got, like, a little life raft and stuff, but I would snorkel and swim and boat or raft.
So cool.
And it was, you know,
I love that you had, I mean, all things that weren't great aside in terms of, like, not having money and sort of not having culture exposure, I wish that I had done more stuff
outdoors,
because I love that.
Total outdoors. And that's still like a huge part of me. I went camping on Halloween, and anytime I get anxiety or you know, I'll tend to get that sticky anxiety, and it's like, I just need to get to the woods. Mm-hmm. It's really important to me. And especially I was in like beautiful woods, like northern, the upper peninsula of Michigan. It's these lodgepole pine forests, and it's kind of sandy and dirty because it's basically like the bottom of a lake, but you have Lake Superior and you have all these lakes and fishing and salmon fishing. I fished a lot. I loved fishing. I think I'd still love fishing. And being trans is like, looking back now, it's like, yeah, I had some depression. And I think that a lot of that stuff was like mindfulness and that focus and sitting, being able to sit and fish for a while.
Also,
and
not to be like this person, but I spend zero. I already apologize for whatever ignorant thing I'm about to say. I spend zero time thinking about my gender when I'm riding my bike.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless I'm puzzling over something that relates to my womanhood or whatever.
Right.
But I don't feel in any way like that's important or a priority if I'm out riding in the mountains. You know what I'm saying?
There's something that's
like,
yeah.
Guess who doesn't care,
right,
what you are?
Yeah.
Guess who gives not one shit?
Right.
Everything around you.
Right.
Like, you're just a human being.
Yeah.
You're an animal, really. You're an animal. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think I kind of discovered mindfulness.
And also, it's great. So who cares?
Yeah,
who cares great. If that has anything to do with it? It's just great being outside.
I just always... Snorkeling was a big thing. I got really into it and would just go, like, get fishing lures from the bottom of lakes. And I just spent a lot of time underwater, and that was such a peaceful place. And then I would go through swamps. I liked catching animals a lot. There's a Facebook profile photo of me with a big snapping turtle, because I still, amazing. Like, if I see a rattlesnake, it's like, I have to catch that. Like, I have to catch animals and pet them. but if like a friend on Facebook is like, oh, there's a black widow in my kitchen, and I'm like, I'm there. Like, I just, like, I love
this
catching animals.
This is good
animals.
To know, because I feel very strong positive feelings about almost everything, but black widows are not my friends.
Oh, yeah.
These guys know. It's just based on some early childhood fear stuff that was implanted in me being a kid in Arizona.
I was afraid of spiders, but then I took mushrooms and looked at a spider.
It feels like mushrooms are the key to everything right now. Like, people are taking mushrooms to accept the fact that they have cancer and that they may not live, and that's still okay because they're part of something bigger. So it turns out mushrooms are great,
guys. I was a pretty square kid. I'll bring it back or whatever. Like, I never did drugs. I didn't have any friends, so I kind of avoided a lot of social pressures. I was goofy. I'm going to get back to mushrooms. I remember, like, how I remember how I avoided having friends. My grandma gave me, like, a light-up LED, like, not LED, but, like, whatever it was. It was basically, like, those old-fashioned Christmas tree lights built into a shirt with a battery pack, right?
Amazing.
Like, now, you know. And I would, like, walk into my classroom at school and turn off the lights and turn my shirt on and go sit down. And, like, so it was just, like, I was so fucking, like, just goofy and an idiot. And I brought my transcripts, and it's, like, D, F, C,
oh, no.
D minus, D. Oh. Like, I was a terrible student and a class clown. I got suspended in fourth grade for the first time
for
goofing around.
Oh, wow, fourth grade, that is early.
Yeah, so
feels like suspension for a goof-off. Come on, that's not violent.
But I never did homework, and I just, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I did goof off in weird ways. Like, I would pee in things, and, like, I think I just, like, really... I was so traumatized that I was just kind of like, you know, I think that people with trauma become sort of the life of the party. And, like,
I feel like there's an adrenaline thing happening there, too, which is like, is a way to change your body's chemistry. Do you know what I mean?
Because
I think I did stuff like, I didn't do stuff like that, but I think I would do things to get an adrenaline rush without really. Of course, you don't understand at the time, but, like, I think I needed the escape of the adrenaline from whatever
that
emotion
makes a lot
I was
of
feeling.
Sense. Yeah.
You know?
And it's also a way to connect with people without connecting with people. Like, if you can make people laugh and you can just be the crazy one that's eating that thing or whatever, like, people are connecting with you and they're saying good things about you, but they're not, there's no intimacy. And I wanted friendships without intimacy. And I think until I really started transitioning and until I came out, I didn't, like, that really just slowed everything down. I think it was just like, you know what? I don't need to, my drive kind of, like, went away, like, in a lot of ways. It's like, I don't need to, like, be that person. And at parties, it's just like, I sit in a corner, maybe talk to somebody, talk to a few people. It's not what it used to be at all.
Yeah.
Was kind of things.
How did you get interested in genealogy, if you don't mind me asking? Because I come from, my mom's side of the family is Mormon, and that's actually one thing about Mormonism that I like.
No,
I'm like, oh, it's so cool. That, I mean, the reasons for it are maybe like slightly specious for me, because it becomes like, I don't know, there's like a weird, like when we get into the baptism for the dead shit, I'm like, uh-oh, red flag.
No, it's funny, because I, you know, you run across like the Mormons have like really great records, and especially for Montana and being in the West, like they have really great
those pioneers records. Man, those pioneers.
So I'm always doing it, and most a lot of the people I'm talking to or looking for information from, it'll be like LDS, you know, Tiffany or whatever.
That's her email. LDS Tiffany.
LDS. So there's a lot. So yeah, I come across that a lot, and it's always like, wait, but why? Why do they have massive vaults of databases of all the people in the country?
Some of it is, Utah. Unfortunately, for the reason of I'm going to go backwards and baptize all the people that I'm related to who are now dead.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, there's some of it. Some of it is. Yeah.
But so they're not going to just kill us or anything?
Oh, kill.
They
kill,
have
kill
all the records of everybody. They can find out.
They can find out.
Who, they Listen, know who's I went far Mormon, enough back. Who's ever Mormon, who's pure blood and who's not pure blood.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I shouldn't misspeak, but I do know the baptism for the dead is a big deal, that and that's sense. Fair to say.
That makes sense. That would make a lot of sense with the new religion, too, to just be like, we have to, like, make this go back.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
But it's what, I mean, I could talk about that for hours. But
well, so I didn't have any of that socialization, so I only did mushrooms about 3 years ago. And the first time I did it, I was in a campground, and it wasn't taking. I'm overweight, and I have a pretty slow metabolism. Everybody else was just like, well, I'm tripping, and it was kind of the first time I really took a drug. It's like, nothing's happening. Drugs don't work on me. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
classic.
Then I'm some kind of superhero. And then I went, after hours, everybody else was kind of like getting over it. I just was like, well, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. And I went to a campground bathroom and full of bugs. And then like the light that just like, it was at night. And I'm like, this is where I would start tripping, because, you know, it's my luck that I'm going to have that horror that I'm going to be like peeling my skin off because I'm like hovering over shit and there's insects and lights and I don't know how to get back in the campground. And this is going to be horror. I'm going to have the bad trip. I should have taken drugs. This is the worst thing. Like, why did I do this? And then, I was like, oh, relax. And then I sit up to grab the toilet paper and I started singing in my head the white Go Ask Alice song because you have that frame of reference. But I saw my hand like start getting really long as I was reaching for the toilet paper. And I was like, it is happening. And I got scared and I just dropped back onto the toilet. And I was like, how do I not deal with this? And then all those bugs and all those creepy things just seemed so beautiful to me. And I felt like I was like magnified good. In and I was looking at this spider. And I was like, and it was like, it doesn't care about me. It doesn't even know that I'm here until I get so close that it's afraid of dying. Like super close. Like you can get, if you're a foot away from a spider, you're like an airplane to it. Like it doesn't care at all. That's how spiders are.
Yeah.
So I kind of realized that and I felt connected and I was like, I know what you're thinking. Not much. Like you're kind of an idiot. Yeah. You're just going about your business. You're trained to go about your business and you're really good at it. And it's really cool. And I'm glad I'm not you. And that was it. And I haven't been afraid. I was a little more afraid of bugs than other things. And I haven't been afraid of those.
Oh my gosh, what a great immersive experience.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, it was great. And then somebody came and found me in the bathroom and they're like, Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm better than ever. Then I turned into kind of a forest nymph and
could talk.
I climbed a tree and felt like a naked fairy and talked to all the animals. But that's, you know, nobody wants to hear your tripping stories.
But I do think that's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
Come on.
But anyway, the spider thing, I think, I don't know. I think there's probably some therapeutic uses for psychedelics.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah. But I always admonish my teenage listeners because I have a long and intense drug history from when I was very young. I probably would have done better if I had been more supervised or made smarter choices.
I was in my 30s, well-being. And it was it's better.
When the genealogy thing, I would like to touch on that really quickly. So when did that become interesting to you? And
I think, I was pretty young and I think it was just like, I wanted some connection, understanding of myself. I think it was like the earliest way to kind of like understand who I was. And I'm also like, I was like kind of the favorite. I'm the only grandkid that like visited home, and you know, I really stayed connected to my grandparents, and I like really like love my relatives, and you know, I was kind of the favorite because of that. So I think it's like I don't know, I do care about family, and I guess that's it.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting when how you feel as a young person. I feel I had no curiosity about that for the most part until more recently. Uh-huh. And now I don't even know if it's so much wanting to know where I came from in an intense sort of personal way, more than just like, as I got older, kind of acknowledging, this sounds kind of corny, but to be like, you know, I for sure wouldn't be here if not for all of these people I'll never meet that, right, you know, got me to this point. But as somebody who felt like I could see exactly who I was, probably right out of who my parents were, I think it just kind of stopped there for me in a way. It was just right. Like, oh, I get it. I look like him, look like her, act like him, act like her. To a detriment, because now I am at the place in my life where I'm like, okay, I really got to let that go because there's some shit I don't want. You know what I mean? That I have to go, I'm my own person. I don't have to assume that just because my mom or my dad did this or my grandma and grandpa did this, that I'm going to be this or whatever. But, but it's, I think it's cool that you had that interest.
It makes me feel really comfortable. I think I was so worried about being isolated, and I was isolated. And so I think I think it made me feel really comfortable to feel connected. And my family's from Montana, and like, they're mountain people, and I do feel so connected to the land and those people, and it just, like, having that little web connected to the place. I think if it wasn't, I have hiccups.
Ooh, that's fun. It's never happened before. I always assume I'm going to be the one who gets hiccups.
I think if it wasn't for the place, I maybe wouldn't have as much interest in the people. Like, I think if it was like, oh, my family, you know, we're all suburbanites for as long as I can remember. I think it's because like they lived hard lives, and there's gender stuff. I'm kind of obsessed with this right now because I'm working on like a story about it. But like, there's all this gender stuff too. Like, women in that world are so butch. You know, they were just like living and working, and there was no femininity. Like, that didn't exist for women, but still incredibly oppressed within that. Mm-hmm. You know, structure, like
it's just, so
like,
specific. It's really interesting.
They're so badass. They're not femme. They're working. They're like, you know, running mules or whatever the hell they did, and like, you know, cutting wood and working to survive the winter, and yet still seen as second class citizens. So that's kind of like really interesting to me. And but yeah, I guess I like thinking about myself. I think being like trans, like, I'm big, you know, I'm actually like the runt of the litter. Like, all my brothers are over 6 feet tall, and like, most of my family, my uncles are like really big. And I come from this like big, my grandma calls it like, you know, mountain stock. We're big people, and I'm the smallest big person, but I'm 5'11". I'm huge. And, sorry, I didn't mean huge, but I'm tall, I'm big. And as a trans person, I have broad shoulders, and you see from that photograph, like, I was like an athletic dude, like, you know, like athletic stuff just came so natural because it was just like, well, I've got this body that like puts on muscle, and I am coordinated, and I like to do stuff, and I, you know, let's climb a mountain. But then like with being trans, I'm kind of like, I'm big and I don't look like a lady, you know? So like, I'm I'm out there just being this big person, and I kind of think that like being connected to like, oh, well, I'm tough and I'm, I come from like these mountain people, it kind of makes me be like, oh, I'm a little bit of a different person. And I think maybe that's why like I'm like, oh, I'll clutch animals or I'll take out the thing. It's like, as femme as I am, and I'm trans and I'm femme and I like a lot of stuff, it's like I still really identify with like hard living and suffering and that sort of stuff, I guess.
I gotta get you back out on the land. We gotta get you a cabin somewhere, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it. I'm going back on Thursday for this funeral.
I know. I'm sorry about your grandpa. I don't want to gloss over that, but I also didn't want to make it a podcast.
No. It was a little weird because I was like, should I even talk about it?
No, but it's like, that's what's going on, you know? Yeah. I want to play this MASH game with you because it is how I finish my podcasts.
Right.
And because I feel I have some fun categories based on stuff that we've talked about.
Wow.
So I'm going to start with exactly what I just said, which is three places in the real world where you could have a cabin that you could just go to whenever you wanted to.
In the real world?
In the real world, because sometimes I do fantasy stuff, which I will also do.
Okay. Yeah, definitely Flathead Lake in Montana.
I do love Montana.
Oh, I do too. That's all I've talked about. I think Murano, Italy.
Oh,
I mean, that's not really a cabin, but like a little space there would be great. Really great, peaceful.
Yeah, the idea being that it's connected to the outdoors. I guess it doesn't have to be a cabin, but
yeah, that's, I guess that's more like quaint villagey.
Okay.
And then let's go with like Bali.
Great.
Really good.
Okay, great. I really hope I can remember that. It says Murano. That's the worst I've ever done. It's just a series of squiggles.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question is, I don't want to trap you in the time frame that this exists, but are there three eras of your people that like would be cool to sort of see or be a part of or meet? Do you know what I mean? Like in different times, as recently as, you know, 15 years ago,
that seems like a really privileged question. That's like that joke, you know, that where it's like, you know, what anybody else can go back in history. But yeah.
Only us.
Go back in history.
Yeah.
That's something I just wanted to bring that up too. I feel like maybe that's part of it too. It's like as a trans person, like culturally, like since it's not passed down from parent to child necessarily, like we look for our transcestors and we look for our history and we look for all that stuff, but it's not like being Jewish where it's like we have this spoken or we have this oral tradition and written, they wrote stuff down too. But we have this tradition and this is where you came from and this is your culture and this is, and then you're like, oh, I guess that's where I'm from. And so like for trans, we have to like kind of try to figure it out. I would say like Hawaii had a really good wait, are we talking about places?
Sure.
Or times? You asked for times.
I was saying times, but
so let's say like,
I don't know, like if you had an interest in sort of seeing, you a woman working the land that is related to you in some way, you know, in the 1800s or in the 1920s.
Oh, so you were talking about a genealogy, not being trans. You're
no,
just saying
no,
but
was,
your people like my,
No, I was talking about, I was talking about your blood, blood.
That's so interesting. When you say my people, I immediately think trans and not Montana. I guess I would be like,
I'm going to make that the next question, though. So tuck that Hawaii away.
Okay. So I guess it would be, my early 1900s, Eastern Montana, my grandfather's ranch.
Great.
Charles Russell.
Two more, no pressure.
I mean, we don't get back much further than that, but I guess I would like to have,
like someone must have come off from a boat from somewhere. Are you interested in?
Yeah, that's where things kind of fail.
Okay, so you can solve the mystery. That can be one of them. It's like you get to solve the mystery of where.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I would love to see my grandfather be born wherever that was, because that is
great.
That mystery. Thank you. Thanks for that answer.
And feel free to go into the future, too, if you want.
Ooh, the future. Yeah, I want to know if any of these shows that are in development go. So just put me at like June of next year.
Great. June next year. Okay.
Jesus,
if you like the idea of being able to sort of have a window into a sort of trans experience in different places or different times or now or something like that, I welcome you to answer that too.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to do Sorry.
I'd like I'm happy to hold it for you.
I think I would like to be New York in the 80s. Great. I'd like to check that out. I mean, it wasn't ideal, great. But come on. And then I would say, yeah, Hawaii, like pre-colonization, mm-hmm. Because there was, in most Polynesian cultures, there was like a good place for trans people. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, as any weirdo, I'd have to go back to like Greece.
Great, sure. Know,
just see what that whole scene was.
I agree with that 100%. I feel we could all benefit from seeing that in every way.
I mean,
way.
They made statues with tits and dick on them. So right? Like, it's like there was something. I think
not like it's brand new, guys.
Some reverence. No, we existed throughout all of history in every culture and every class.
Exactly. Okay. This is my personal favorite. It says a lot about me, probably not in a good way. Three foods that you could have with no ramifications whatsoever.
I already eat all the food with no ramifications.
Wonderful.
I'm crazy. I love LA for this. I'm crazy about hamburgers.
Great. Because you know cereal would be on my list.
Yeah.
Because of what I have done to myself by not having processed sugar anymore, I can't enjoy it the way I once
could.
Right,
right.
So I would have it on the list. But hamburgers, great.
I also love pizza. I'm right? such a
no. Listen,
such a white American. And you know what I'd like to have that I've never had, just because I can't afford it, is like people rave about like really good sushi. So I'd like to just, you know, I guess that's not like a no ramifications because that's not that bad. But that's something I want to eat.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
I want like that $400.
Pick something that's bad for you. I'm giving people the option.
Sure.
It could be that you love green beans and that's what you want. I would say that's a wasted wish, but that's not the case for some people. But listen, great sushi. I'm right there with you. It would be on my list.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is going to be three works of art or music, or I mean, could even be as simple as animation that it would be really cool if somehow by magic you had been a part of.
As simple as animation.
I don't mean that, but I'm
know,
saying
I just,
like,
I'm kidding.
Did I say as simple as? That's really funny.
No. It's just funny. I try to get a staff writing job on this show and they're like, you're like animation.
Oh my God.
Not
to
good.
Me, everyone who follows my career on the Korra side knows that my number one goal was to be a voice actor for a cartoon. So I certainly didn't mean anything by that.
No, I know you didn't. I just, I'm more ripping on the people out there who would. Boy, a piece of art. I would love to have hung with Oscar Wilde writing with Oscar Wilde, I guess.
I couldn't agree more.
Be a little dandy-ish. That would have been nice. I mean, it wasn't like you were involved, but to be a fly on the wall.
Sure.
Boy, what else? I guess I'd like to,
like if someone could have been like, Janet, you were on Wonder Chosen, I would have been like, yes.
Yeah. I would have liked to have worked on Deadwood.
Oh, great.
And I guess I would have loved to have been part of like that salon breaking impressionist thing that happened with all those impressionists, because that seemed pretty cool.
Have you seen that movie, Impromptu?
No.
It's like an old date, but it's Judy Davis and Hugh Grant, and it's about the sort of collective of like Eugène Delacroix and Chopin and Liszt and Georges Sand, the writer. Like that idea of just a bunch of artists going to some rich person's chateau and just like living off of those people, because those people were like, I'm a benefactor to great art.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Oh, man.
I'm actually going to change that because that's not my class. I would have liked to have worked on Heaven's Gate as well. I tried watching it last night and could not sit through it. But it's beautiful, and it was filmed in where I'm from in Montana, and I would have liked to have seen that happen.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, next question is, I just burped, sorry. Three mythical creatures, or just like something, Jenny Wade was just on, she said that Clifford the Big Red Dog would be one of hers. But three things that are not like my dog that's roaming around outside right now. Three sort of friend pets that you have.
Okay. I would say a Pegasus.
Wonderful.
Pegasi?
I feel they don't get talked about as much. You know, unicorns still get joked about and like you'll see them pop up. You just don't see as many Pegasuses.
Sometimes people say unicorns and they mean Pegasus. like, you know, it just, maybe they're just, yeah, they're getting oppressed a little. I guess, like, what are those, Griffiths? I guess I like the flying ones that lion.
Oh, a griffin?
Griffin, yeah.
That's, what is that? That's part eagle, like, part lion.
Eagle. Yeah, I like the flying ones. I think I want to fly. And then another pet.
Yeah, also griffins don't get talked about. You're really pulling up some of the best ones.
Oh, I feel like those are like so basic.
I disagree. No, listen, here's what. If you'd said unicorn, dragon, like those are the ones that I think get said a lot.
Oh, I forgot about those.
I feel you tucked in two really good ones that people forget about.
And I think it's something super adorable, like just a mythical, the mythical chinchilla. Let's go with a mogwai.
Oh, great. I'm embarrassed to say I might say Ewok.
Yeah, something like
I know
that.
That's uncool because people are think that Return of the Jedi and the Ewoks are dumb. But okay, next I'm going to go with a romantic companion.
I'm just going to stand with you and disagree on that. Ewoks are great.
They're pretty great.
Romantic companion. So a human, a person.
Whatever you want. Three.
David Duchovny.
Great.
Whoever that guy who plays Deacon in Nashville is.
Wonderful.
And, God, I feel like this, I need to say somebody cooler. Who's cool?
Oh, boy. I don't care if they're cool or not.
I know. I want to impress.
you already said you would hang with Oscar Wilde, so you're okay in my book.
Okay. Crazy about, I guess, Taylor Kitsch. These are all like new people.
Hey, listen, this is, I didn't prepare you for this, so no. That's what came to your mind. I support it and embrace it. Okay, final
these
category.
Are just, this is also the other category is, who would I like to see a La Poubelle?
check and check. Okay, last one is, what's going to be a fun one for you? I'm trying to think. Like, if you, I mean, are you super like music nerd now, or do you have like bands that's kind of why I didn't go down there. I don't know. What do you want your final category to be?
What does it need to be?
Anything. Doesn't matter. Just three things, like a list of three that you could give. Could be like, kind of transportation, or like you wake up tomorrow and you have three skills that you didn't have to learn but you're just amazing. Ooh, at
yeah those? I would do that. Okay, great. Let's do that.
Three of those.
Okay. I would like to be able to play guitar because I like campfires and I'm useless at campfires.
Useless.
I'm useless at campfires.
The only thing, when people are earning their keep when they're playing guitar, campfires, otherwise useless.
Yeah,
I bet you tell a good story / joke over a campfire.
Okay, good.
Okay, guitar.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I would like to just be able to play guitar. And I'm gonna get so sad. I have this. I would like to just be more like physically. Let's see. Like a good runner. I'd like to be a good runner. Like
I hear
good
that.
Endurance. Like just be able to like run.
To get the experience of running out of it that runners seem to have that I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
I think I kind of did for a second and then like my knees started hurting.
Yeah, there's something really great about it. I have arthritis. I have psoriatic, like an autoimmune disorder, and so like that just like destroyed my physicality. So I think I pine for like a healthier like running, like being able to do stuff pain free.
Absolutely.
My grandpa died. I'm a transsexual, and
oh, no, just like
I'm just trying to slip sad things in. And you're just like, God. We're talking about, okay. And then,
No, please don't think that I'm glossing
I'd
over
like
anything.
To be, you know, I guess this goes back to Pegasus, but how great would it be? I'd love to be able to fly like a helicopter.
Absolutely, chopper.
Yeah, chopper pilot.
Made me feel cool. This is right, chopper.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this, do a little bit of calculating, come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Great. I'll just...
All right. Listen, sometimes I'm just more excited than other times when I feel that all the ones that I would have picked get picked. And so this worked out great for me to enjoy your MASH future. First of all, I want to congratulate you for your ability to play guitar.
Oh, thanks. Good You're stuff. Really good dungeon master.
Good stuff. So great stuff there. I also want to, now I don't know how this works, because you know MASH means mansion, apartment, shack, or house. Right. Now you have an apartment in Bali.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like, the apartment is technically just like your little apartment house on stilts, like overlooking the water.
I think so.
But that's kind of what I imagine.
Yeah. With like just a bee hanging on the door.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like a bee from Honey Nut Cheerios.
Or no, just a letter. Yeah, yeah. It'll just like be an apartment door, yeah. But then a beautiful...
Your letter B. Exactly. Your, right. Your letter B. Okay. Then I want to also acknowledge that there's some pretty hip stuff going on here. Number one, you were around somehow for just being like, not even a fly on the wall, but like you were good friends with Oscar Wilde. Okay. Like Oscar Wilde would be like, tell me if this is funny. Like he would try out his BOMO on you.
Right. That's
pretty exciting. And then also I feel that New York in the 80s, that's like a scene of some pretty
dead Oscar Wilde. Very dead Oscar Wilde hanging out with me and Andy Warhol.
Listen, time's fluid. It's all over the place. Yeah. So Oscar Wilde, someone, maybe you bring him back with you to the New York in the 80s. I'm sure Andy Warhol would have really appreciated
that. Wait, when did Andy Warhol die? Okay.
Listen, no worries. New York in the 80s. We've got a cover. You got an entire decade to figure it out.
Yeah.
Also, as many hamburgers as often as you want at your disposal.
Already do
all
it.
All good.
Already do it.
You got it.
I'm living my dreams.
Delicious. You absolutely are. But can you say this? Do you have a Mogwai?
I don't.
You do now.
Oh.
You got yourself a real cute Mogwai. Do not feed after midnight and do not get wet.
There are rules. I knew that there would be strings attached to my fantasy.
Good luck.
There's a mudslide in Bali. Oscar Wilde.
Everything's gone horribly, horribly wrong. Try to find a way to ruin your relationship with David Duchovny. You can't do it. It's too perfect.
He does have a sex addiction, which could be problematic if he's out there in the world.
He is a recovering sex addict, so maybe it's all fine.
I think we're gonna be fine.
Also, sometimes people have
I feel so warm from this
problems. Sometimes people have issues because they're not looking at their other issues, and if he's looked through his other issues, then
yeah,
he could be.
Who am I to judge? I just was thrown out a thing, treating him like not a person.
Bless him. He's probably doing all right.
You're a really good person.
Oh, that's right. And then the last thing I want to end with, because it feels like it sort of comes full circle in a way, is that you get to go back to the time when your grandfather was born.
Oh, I need to know that.
A little baby.
I stayed up until 4 in the morning trying to figure some stuff out. Thank you. That's good.
See? So I think that was a very successful MASH game, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
It was such a pleasure. It was a long one because I didn't want it to stop.
Oh, yeah. It felt so short, though.
Thank you. Are there things you would like people... I guarantee you that there will be people on the podcast who aren't familiar with what you do, and so and they will want to know and be a part of it now.
I'm not familiar with what I do. So, that's why I wanted to jump forward to June of next year. June of next year, look me up and see if anything is happening. No, you know what? I live in LA and I just work on pilots.
You wrote a great piece on Transparent, if memory serves. Didn't you? Didn't you write about it, or maybe you tweeted about it?
I probably talked about it because I do some political stuff, but I didn't work on that show.
I mean, like you were talking about the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was talking about someone.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, you can follow some of that. I kind of separate some of that politic, but yeah, go ahead and follow Trans Hollywood on Twitter if you're into transcultural representation. I tweet on there a lot and we'll post to that Tumblr. And then you can follow me on Twitter, but I don't really do very much.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah. And then you do. There's tons of stuff that people may have already seen.
Oh, yeah, you can watch a bunch of cartoons I worked on. IMDb, you can watch Mad and GABA, and I have a Nick short coming out.
I hate to tell you this, but you're a multi-hyphenate in terms of all the things that you do.
Yeah, I have a Nick short's coming out, so that'll be out like in the beginning of the year. But mostly it's just more pilots and development and all the stuff that like maybe you'll see and maybe you won't see.
But listen, that stuff rises to the surface, I think, eventually. But like, it doesn't all happen at once.
George Clooney had like 13 or 50. Whoever telling the story, it's more and more. Yeah. I think George Clooney had 7,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that something happens. But for now, I'm just writing a lot.
I think you're doing just fine. Well, safe travels.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's a lot. It's loaded. but I hope that it's fulfilling as well.
I
do too. And guys, we'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Thank you. Don't do drugs.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.